BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, the rise of fentanyl overdose deaths is skyrocketing. According to Families Against Fentanyl, fentanyl deaths have doubled since 2019. They report that fentanyl poisoning is now the number one case of death in adults 18 to 45, with over 64,000 deaths for the year ending in April 2021. As a whole, drug overdose deaths surpassed 100,000 per year for the first time in 2021. They attribute this largely to street drugs and being laced into counterfeit pills. We just received a press release not long ago from Congressman Glenn Grothman reporting that in 1 3-month period, April through June of 2022, about 3,115 pounds of fentanyl was seized at the southern border. That 3-month apprehension was more than the total amount seized in all of fiscal year 2019 and equivalent to over 750 million lethal doses, enough to kill the entire American population twice. Sadly, the issue of drug addiction, including that of fentanyl abuse, has also entered into many Christian families. We're addressing that on Crosstalk today. It's our privilege to have back with us Mark Shaw, the Director of Counseling at Grace Fellowship Church in Florence, Kentucky. He is a founder of the Addiction Connection. He's a certified alcohol and drug addiction counselor, an ordained pastor, a speaker, a teacher, author of multiple books such as The Heart of Addiction, How Not to Raise an Addict, and many others, including the recently released booklet entitled Fentanyl. Mark, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Jim. Thank you for having me.
People readily recognize various drugs by name, marijuana, LSD, heroin, crack cocaine, as it relates to drug addiction, but not so readily familiar with fentanyl. So introduce us. What exactly is fentanyl?
Well, fentanyl is a synthetic opioid drug, and it's just very powerful. So it's been around since, you know, the 60s or so, and people typically add it to whatever they're doing, and then some people unknowingly are taking drugs that have fentanyl pushed into it, like pushed into the pill or into their batch of heroin or whatever, so they're unknowingly taking it. But it's been around for a while. It's a very powerful drug. It's 50 times stronger than heroin, 100 times stronger than morphine, which are powerful drugs. So this is a drug that is a very deadly, quite frankly.
Yeah, those numbers you just gave, I mean, that's significant potency to it. Not long ago, their broadcast stations, including our own, around the country received public service announcements warning of counterfeit prescription pills, that in 2021, more than 20 million counterfeit prescription pills are laced with fentanyl. They may look in appearance as like another prescription, but they're being laced with fentanyl.
Yeah, that's the danger. It looks like just any other pill. And so a typical drug abuser is just thinking, oh, this is just like what I normally take. But when they take a drug, you know, or just take fentanyl or a drug mixed with fentanyl, it takes them out. It creates, they stop breathing, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's so dangerous. It's scary. And they're marketing those to kids, too. I mean, that's the ugly truth of it.
Well, yeah. And I mean, some of them are being laced, but they're disguised as being candy.
Right. Yeah. And so kids just think, oh, this is just another drug. You know, I've tried marijuana. I've tried alcohol. I've tried cocaine, even tried heroin. Let me try fentanyl. And not knowing how little amount of fentanyl, I think it's 2 milligrams, can cause an overdose.
Yeah. And I'm seeing also warnings that have come out from, the border patrol agents and so forth, where they're intercepting what they're calling rainbow fentanyl pills. I mean, so that, to make look, you know, pleasing in appearance or like candy, but deadly.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that just a trick of Satan in this world to make something look appealing like candy, like everyone would want, and yet it's so potent and dangerous that it will kill you. I mean, it's just sad to me. That's why I think it's so important and great that you're addressing this, mm-hmm. because people need to know the dangers of fentanyl. It's nothing to play around with.
And again, this is something parents need to convey to their children, to their teenagers, to their college-age youth as well. And, Mark, I know that people sometimes will share their prescriptions with others, but so many of these fentanyl pills, they're being disguised to look like other prescription pills. And shouldn't that be a wake-up call to us, taking a drug from someone else that's not directly received from our pharmacy, that's not something we should do?
Yeah, it's always a bad idea and illegal to take other people's prescriptions. And so I read recently a story of a college student who was trying to study for final exams, asked a friend, where do I get some Adderall, which we used to call as a poor man's cocaine. It's a drug that's commonly prescribed for ADHD. And so they called the person that their friend recommended, and not knowing that fentanyl had been pushed into those pills. And so they ended up overdosing and dying rather than, you know, getting the high from Adderall. They actually had fentanyl in it, and it took them out. And so I think it's dangerous and just a bad idea just to use anybody else's drug prescription. I mean, only use what your doctor has prescribed for you. Any illicit drug use is very dangerous and even more so today with fentanyl.
So let's talk about the matter of pain management, because there are those who will receive fentanyl, perhaps by way of patches that have these concentrated doses of fentanyl. Could you discuss the matter of pain management?
Sure. I mean, I'm not a medical doctor, but I'm a spiritual heart doctor. That mm-hmm. I do biblical counseling and that kind of thing. But pain management is, you know, people are in pain. That's a real alternative. And so sometimes people get to the place where their pain medications are not working, and so fentanyl can be prescribed for that, typically with patches. There are lozenges and tongue tablets and nasal sprays and tongue sprays, different all kinds of ways that it's administered. But pain management, you know, is sometimes necessary, and what a blessing that God has given us the wisdom and our doctors to prescribe things that help us deal with pain, physical pain, and so these patches, you know, can be dangerous to children or pets or you know, other family members. They have to be very careful about absorbing it themselves, and so these patches and these things are intended to help people to deal with pain, but there are some, you know, some concerns about that as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned you're a heart doctor now, not a cardiologist, but dealing
oh,
with
no.
this,
oh, yeah.
but dealing
yeah.
with the spiritual heart. Right.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah.
We're talking about the spiritual nature of man, and so that really begs some questions here as to how God views this. I mean, why would he even allow drugs like this to be manufactured? Why would he even create the plants that would be harmful to us? And I've heard people, you know, go to a Genesis and said, you know, every plant is there for our use and our eating and so forth. So give us that spiritual perspective on this matter, if you would.
Yeah, well, I mean, God created a perfect world in Genesis 1 and 2, and then in Genesis 3 is where sin entered in the world and the consequences of sin, which, it, you know, brought death and so forth. And so plants have these toxins. A lot of times toxins keep the bugs from attacking them and eating them. They're a protective thing. Mankind has figured out a way to extract the toxins and, you know, smoke it, snort it, shoot it, however they put it in their system. But the... You know, I do believe that God has given us medication for good reason, you know, to help us when we're suffering, when we're having, again, physical pain. There are, in Proverbs 31, there's a verse about give strong drink to the one who's perishing or someone who's really physically struggling in this way. So the pain management idea there. And so God has given us that graciously, but now just the potency of it, and every drug addict that I know who who uses heroin and is a functioning addict, as they would say, they're seeking to get as close as they can to the line of overdose. Like, they want to get the maximum high that they can get. And so they're mixing and trying different things and experimenting. And fentanyl is that one drug that if you're not careful, you don't understand the potency of it and how little it takes to take you out. You'll cross that line. You won't reach the line. You'll cross the line. And the side effect of fentanyl is death.
And you know, you've got a lot there that we need to unpack here, Mark. Those who have said, you know, as long as I can get up to that certain point and not cross that line, and sometimes we think we're self-controlling to keep us from crossing that line. You're saying we don't have that ability to do that.
That's right. No, I mean, that's the, you know, the drug addict who's really just enslaved to their own heart desires. They think that they're in control.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and how do you know that the fentanyl you have is pure? How do you know? I mean, some of it's 90%. Some, you know, it could be less or more than what you think it is. And, you know, it's just so risky. But, yeah, the lie is, oh, I can control this. I can manage this. And
yeah,
then they can't.
So what is the actual lure of fentanyl, getting that high itself?
Yeah. I mean, fentanyl just is such a powerful drug, and it's so cheap. It only takes a little bit. So it's attractive in that way. It's a cheap but a super powerful, you know, high. So that's the lure. That's the draw with that.
Yeah, okay. And so what is the addictive nature of it then? How does that addiction develop?
Well, I think with opioids, any synthetic opioids like this one, you know, you get to where your body, God's created our bodies in such miraculous ways that we get tolerant to it. So we take a little bit amount, a little bit of it, and then we need a little bit more and a little bit more. And that's really what's dangerous. So a lot of times people will go to a drug rehab, they'll dry out for 90 days, then they come back out and they find friends and they use again like they did before they went to rehab, but now they've been clean for 90 days, their body's changed. And the amount that they used before they went into rehab, if they try to use that again, they overdose and die. So our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made, and people gain tolerance and so forth. So it just takes more and more. So when you're tired of paying for heroin, you think, well, I can mix in a little bit of fentanyl and get a better high, and, you know, and I don't have to deal with the tolerance right now in that moment. Of course, they will develop tolerance to it over time. That's the game. But that's really the draw with this.
We're talking today with Mark Shaw, who has just put out the booklet called Fentanyl. And friends, we're going to take a quick break. And after the break, we're going to come back and look at this matter even from another perspective here. What is how is man treating this versus what is God's design? How does God how do we deal with this, you know, from the heart perspective? So we'll be delving into that issue here after the break. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do blind cave fish come from?
Chris, it seems that some fish get trapped in caves living in total darkness. They have no use for their eyes, thus their eyes atrophy and no longer develop. But some of these fish are virtually identical to fish that live in lakes and streams nearby, which do have eyes. I've long wondered what would happen if you took some of these blind fish and raised them in a lit environment. Would their eyes begin to develop? The fish still have the genes for eyes, but they're never switched on. Thus, the eyes are never expressed. I've often wondered if they're interfertile with the sighted fish. This seems to be a good research project, but as far as I know, the blind fish are protected, and no such research has been done. Chris, fish were created on day 5 of Creation Week. And that happened back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking today with Mark Shaw, who is the founder of the Addiction Connection. He's a certified alcohol and drug addiction counselor and has just put out a booklet entitled Fentanyl. And we are offering this through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support. It's a small booklet. It's of only 30-some pages here. But it is such that is a helpful resource, a tool to get into your hands as this becomes more and more an issue today. Certainly, you'd want to obtain a copy for your pastor as well as situations likely will develop or he's going to come across this through his own ministry as well. And how do we deal with this matter? But the little booklet, Fentanyl, is available, and we are making this one copy available for a contribution of $6 or more here at Crosstalk, three copies for a donation of $15. And if you'd like to obtain copies of the book or a single copy, you may reach out to our switchboard here at 800-729-9829 or online at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org. Again, that's one copy for a donation of $6 or three copies so you can share it with others, a contribution of $15. And again, it's entitled Fentanyl. And many resources are in this book to help guide counselors, the addicted, and family and friends of the addicted as well. So many resources within this booklet itself. Mark, as we talk about this issue, I'd like you to maybe compare and contrast how the world is dealing with this issue versus how God's Word would have us deal with this issue. And just the other night on news again, I saw another place in which they're putting in a Narcan dispenser, like a vending machine or some kind of dispenser that's readily available, whether it be in college dorms or other public places. And this is our answer, you know, to help people who have overdosed on this, just get the Narcan in them. So I know the world is doing some other things in this as well, but compare and contrast the world's treatment in dealing with this versus how we ought to be looking at this through God's perspective.
Yeah, the world's solution would be, a cope with it. You have this disease, which is man-made and, in a theory, and that's how they view addiction. They've really given up on it. I mean, a lot of times they just recommend medication-assisted treatment, which is Suboxone or methadone, which is a strong drug to replace the opioid addiction. Sometimes they recommend harm reduction, which is just, using more wisely, as they would say, use with a friend, take turns, and this kind of thing, which is just not realistic for those that have struggled with drug addiction that I talk to. I mean, they have a hard time taking turns when it's the drugs are readily available. And so the world system, from my perspective, I think they've almost given up for at least on the goal of transformation, which is where the Bible gives us so much hope to say, you can be transformed. You can be changed from the inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, through salvation in Jesus Christ. And then sanctification grows you to make you more like Jesus Christ and helps you to have the bigger motivation, the yes, to aspire to rather than just turning to some temporary drug to fix whatever ails you. And so I am very excited about getting church people involved and trained. That's what we do with the Addiction Connection training, is try to train people, offer groups and curriculum that's hopeful, that teaches about an identity in Christ, and that gives you practical ways to deal with the temptations that are there, that are real, but to have the body of Christ. I said to a group the other day that God's support group is the local church.
Amen. Amen. Now, you mentioned your website and you do training. So tell us about, give us your website address and just a word about that training that goes on.
Yeah, theaddictionconnection.org is our website. And we have lots of courses that people can take. Some are just 2 or 3 hour courses. Some are full-on, training courses with 20, 22 hours worth of training. So there's a menu and a lot of options for people to learn how to apply the Bible in a practical way to the heart, to the heart desires of man, and to learn how to help give the addict hope, not hope in themselves, not hope in me or anybody else, but hope in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what we do. And then we offer some curriculum for groups. So if a family member, we're going to start that pretty soon at our church, Family Help for Addiction, a care group study. And then we have one called Next Steps Be Transformed, which is for the addict. And churches can use that curriculum to start their own, I call them care groups rather than support groups, but they're Bible teaching groups with discussion questions and meant to be something that's very personal, intimate, and helpful.
Again, folks, that's the website, theaddictionconnection.org, and you'll find much helpful information there. So, Mark, let's talk about the heart for just a moment. And I'm guessing right now we've got people listening that either have known somebody abusing fentanyl or perhaps even some other drug but just cannot gain victory. Perhaps it's a pastor listening in is dealing with somebody within his church or somebody that's come to him. What kind of counsel can you provide in dealing with this issue? Again, speaking to the person, I want victory. I can't get there.
Yeah, it is a struggle. There's no doubt. I mean, but I think church people and even pastors have to be reminded that drugs aren't the answer to every human problem. And so there is suffering in this world. There are things to cry about. I met with people this morning for counseling, and there are things to be sad about. And the Bible has a book called Lamentations that reminds us that it's okay to lament and to be sad. And so I think sometimes people are experiencing normal sadness, normal anxiety, things to be afraid of, but then not turning to Christ and turning to a drug or a quick escape, you know, whatever it may be, or just pleasure. But we have the answer, and we can help them to know Christ, to know his church, his body, and to find solace in him and let Jesus be the healer, not these drugs that promise and maybe provide a momentary relief and a momentary high, but you're going to end up with consequences at the end of that use, whether it's you're building up tolerance and then when you withdraw, you're going to get sick, or you know, the consequences that come from just being kind of drugged out and in a cloud and not able to function clearly and think clearly. So there's a lot of hope that the local church, that pastors can offer the addicted. Now, certainly none of us, again, are physical medical doctors, so we want to work with physicians to help people with the deadliness of withdrawal. What, you know, alcohol can be very deadly, just withdrawing from that. So we have to work with physicians, and we want to do that, but we can help with the spiritual heart desires that go on with the addicted.
And bottom line for this, really, to gain that victory, sometimes we think, you know, the power comes from within. But it's not confidence in self. It's not confidence in man. Rather, it's upon God. It's upon his word. It's upon his enablement, is it not?
Yeah. Do we really believe? Do we really trust God at his word? And is he the one that we run to? Or are we just running to other things? And that's why addiction is a concept that just creeps into every area of life. People say, well, I'm addicted to food, or I'm addicted to coffee, or I'm addicted to whatever pleasure they're turning to for comfort and for help. And we want to be a people that turn to God, that live differently, that have confidence in him. And that, you know, the biggest thrill of my day today was that I got to wake up and be with Jesus all day. I mean, I love everything that I get to do. And it's a joy to do that. But the biggest joy of my day is I get to be with Jesus.
Amen. And we see that there's quite a dulling of senses going on today as well. And I can't help but think of the importance that Scripture has for us and tells us to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I think we need to be alert, Mark, to the fact that there is deception that is taking place around us and wants to lure us in there. But as you pointed out early in our interview today, you know, lust of eyes, lust of flesh, pride of life, really the end is death.
It is. It's living sensually, living by the flesh will only produce death. And God wants us to live spiritually by his spirit, by his word, by truth, and have confidence in him and to turn to him and turn to his people. I'm not just saying, oh, read your Bible and it'll be better. No, God has people, and we need to share our sufferings and encourage one another every day, as long as it is today, Hebrews says. So we need each other, and we need to turn to the body. And what I see, what breaks my heart is when I see a Christian who is struggling with this, and they feel like maybe they're believing a lie, that they can't go to their church, that they have to go to some secular group that may not talk about Jesus at all. They may talk about a higher power, but they're not going to talk about the one true God. And that breaks my heart for Christians, because the church is meant to be their care group and the place that they go for help.
God gives us everything pertaining to life and godliness. But Mark, didn't you know the word fentanyl is not found in the Word of God, that word?
Yeah, it's not in there, but it's our heart that's the problem. It's our you know, we want lust of the flesh, we want comfort, lust of the eyes, we want to possess something, we covet things, and then pride of life is the desire to be glorified and for people to really like us or appreciate us or whatever it may be. And I think drugs like fentanyl feed those desires, whether it's for comfort, whether it's for a possession, or whether it's just for pride of life, look at me and appreciate me. Drugs offer that in a false way, and that's why people turn to them.
Yeah, and we also have to mention what happens in cases even accidentally. I've seen warnings coming out about even a dollar bill laying on a sidewalk or busy way that has some kind of being laced with fentanyl that has addicted people or harmed people in that regard. There are things that happen just accidentally as well.
Yeah, they say our skin is a good barrier for fentanyl and that kind of thing, but fentanyl could be absorbed in a number of ways, whether you inhale it or absorb it through your skin, and so we have to be careful. You see a dollar bill, that's one of the tricks people are doing, is they're putting fentanyl in the dollar bill, and children or people are picking it up, or it might even look like a $5 or a $10 bill, and so it's worth picking up. They pick it up, and sure enough, they have ingested fentanyl, It is certainly a deception that will kill you.
Friends, we're going to open our phone lines here today to give you opportunity to speak with our guest, Mark Shaw, on this topic of fentanyl. Some question that you may have, perhaps you're dealing with this or maybe another drug addiction or somehow dealing with another individual, guiding them through, and you've got a question pertaining to it. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Friends, it's an issue that is growing here across our land, and the amount that's been pouring across our border and coming into our nation here is just astounding. And the way it's being disguised, and so many in the age group of young adult life, 18 to 45, greatly being impacted. We'll be back in just a minute.
Looking back at Dwight L. Moody's life, it is tempting to focus solely on what God accomplished through a common man from Northfield, Massachusetts. Preaching to millions, starting multiple schools, spearheading the Christian publishing movement, and inspiring men and women to Christian service is difficult to ignore. Yet surely, why God used D.L. Moody is as important as how God used him. In the book, Useful to God, author James Spencer presents 8 lessons from the life of D.L. Moody with practical applications for the reader. You'll see how he was surrendered, prayerful, studious, and more as he was consumed with a passion for lost souls. This book will challenge you to cultivate these characteristics in your own life. Useful to God is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Fentanyl is our topic today. Our guest is Mark Shaw, who is the founder, director of the Addiction Connection. He's also director of counseling at Grace Fellowship Church in Florence, Kentucky. But they've got a website that's got a lot of information pertaining to it online that you can visit at theaddictionconnection.org. theaddictionconnection.org, and find a lot of information there. They do training and have training materials that are available as well, but has put out a booklet entitled Fentanyl, and it is a part of his transformation series, but addresses the dangers of fentanyl use and its effect on our relationship with God. You'll find scripture throughout this as well, and biblical counseling principles as well, how God wants to transform us not into being drug addicts, but rather to be conformed, not to the drug, but to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. We're making the booklet available, our way of saying thank you for your support of just $6. It'll be mailed off to you, 3 copies for a donation of $15. It's available at vcyamerica.org or by calling 1-800-729-9829. We've got several people online right now. Let's go to Laval, Wisconsin. And Joe, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Brandon. How you doing, Mark?
This is Jim. Yeah, go
ahead.
I found
something funny. It was actually about in 2014 I first noticed this, but on the CDC for Kids website, it literally tells you how to abuse opioids. It says, crush down the pills and then snort them. And I couldn't believe it, but I saved a copy of the webpage, and I think they still have it up. But even if they don't, you can probably go to Internet Archive and see what I'm talking about.
Do you mean they're talking about ways to do it safely or what? Hello, Joe.
Oh, hello. Yes, Brandon.
No, this is Jim. You've got a wrong program here. We're talking about fentanyl here, and you're saying that the CDC is saying how to do this safely or what?
Well, they're saying what not to do.
Oh, what not to do. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Jim Schneider.
Okay.
You sound like Brandon, and Dalton Windsor sort of sounds like you, too.
Very good. Thank you, Joe. So the CDC is saying what not to do, but in essence telling you how to do it by I guess, the illustrations he's pointing out there. Again, thank you for that. Let's go to John, Port Charlotte, Florida. You're on the air.
How you doing, Jim? Thank you for you and your guest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a recovered addict for 20 years, addict and alcoholic. And I heard your guest, Mark, I believe his name is.
Yes.
He had said... he was talking about secular programs, and I was in AA, but the difference was is that my sponsor was a born-again Christian. And when it came time for me to go through those steps, we kneeled down at his coffee table in his living room with the AA book and the Bible, and I turned my life over to the care of God, my God, Jesus Christ, and God, your creator. And God will remove your addiction if you stay close to him and try to do his will. The question I always ask is why do we need to put these drugs and alcohol into our body? Why can't we deal with life on life's terms? Hmm. And that's the real question. And the Bible and God and Christ can do that for us if we just turn it all over to him.
Yeah,
that's my statement. That's what worked for me. I just lost my sponsor; just died from cancer last week. And if there was ever a man that, you know, people use that term loosely, he's gone to be with the Lord. There's no question in my mind that this man went to be with the Lord, with the men that he helped.
Sure. And, John, we're so sorry for your loss there and your friend. Thank you. I'm going to have our guest comment on this issue here today. If you would, Mark, just address this whole matter of we know that there are programs that will draw people to a higher power, but you're drawing people to Jesus Christ as being the answer.
That's right. And praise the Lord for John and his testimony and for this a gentleman who is his sponsor. You know, the Bible talks about it as disciple-making, and Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all nations. And that's really what's needed. You know, I mean, I think the brilliance of the 12-step program is the disciple-making element, which is the biblical part of it, the people part of it. And so while I disagree with a lot of the 12-step concepts and that kind of thing, because I think they point away from Christ at times, I do acknowledge that here he had a born-again believer as a sponsor or a disciple-maker, biblically you'd call it that, who taught him how to walk with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the local church can do, and that's what we want to do is point people to Jesus Christ.
Amen. We've got Jody calling next. Hi, Jody, you're on the air.
Hello, I thank you for this program, and I thank you, Mark, for coming on, and I certainly am going to get your book. My question is, how do you get the church? I too believe you should go to the church, and now I don't have a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction, but cigarettes are just as bad. And when I confess the sin before some of the people at church, they prayed for me, but then off I went, and I keep trying, and I keep failing, and, you know, and I know it's not me, I know it's the Lord, and I know I'm trying to draw closer, but how can you get churches to accept people, you know, to give us help? They give us love, but the direction we need, I don't know, you know, how can we bring our church up to par where our churches, and ours is a Bible-believing, truly Bible-believing church, mm-hmm. but they kind of steer away from issues and, you know, and anxiety. Other, you know, there's a lot of things that can be called, like you said, your coffee addiction or whatever, mm-hmm. That to be so more inclusive, you know, to be more accepting, what can we do,
great.
You know, to be helpful.
Great. Thank you,
members
Jody.
Of our church to yep. reach out, because no one has reached out mm-hmm. except in a prayer, which I appreciate. I totally, totally appreciate, but I need, like that man had a sponsor because he was in drug abuse or alcoholism, but you don't get sponsors when you have something different. Do you understand? I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you
Jody.
Very much. Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And with, you know, not all churches are as equipped as they could be and maybe as they should be to help people who are struggling with all kinds of problems. I'm grateful for the church that I'm in. We emphasize biblical counseling. We emphasize community groups or small groups, those kind of meetings. We also have care groups, which are issue-specific, like addiction. And then we have the pulpit ministry and just a great lead pastor in Brad Bigney who teaches the Word. And so I'm blessed to be in a church that really emphasizes walking with people. And so prayer, like she mentioned, prayer is so important, and we don't want to dismiss prayer. And but sometimes people need prayer and disciple making, mm-hmm. and they need somebody to walk with them, to hold them accountable, to teach them the Word, and to help them to see what is it that's motivating me that I'm choosing this thing that I know is bad, but I'm not really scared of it, or I'm not really, you know, respecting it, and I'm certainly not fearing God and putting Him first with that. And so I deal with it as a sin issue of the heart, and that may sound harsh to people. But when people understand what you're doing is offending a holy God, it motivates you to change. Now then there's grace when people blow it. And with cigarettes and nicotine and vaping, I mean, typically there's an upper and a downer with that drug. That's what makes it so tough. It's kind of got both elements of that. And so physically, the flesh just craves that. Give me the up, give me the down, and let me experience that. And so you have to walk with people. It takes time. And certainly the goal is to be drug-free. But people along the way might stumble, might choose the wrong thing. But the great thing is there's repentance, there's forgiveness, and there's a confession that, God, I blew it. Will you help me not only forgive me of this sin, but cleanse me from all unrighteousness, from the wrong motives, wrong desires I have? And I just think We need the people part of that. So we need prayer, but we need somebody to disciple us and be an accountability partner.
Indeed. Mark, I know also we have available your book, The Heart of Addiction, and that also has even further help for individuals as well.
That's right. Yeah, it's a thicker book, so I need to write a booklet-size treatment of that, but certainly there's a lot in there that I think would encourage people as they read it, as they deal with this struggle.
You can learn more about that at our switchboard as well when you call. Let's go to Kennewick, Washington. Brian is calling. Brian, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello, Mark and Jim. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm calling. I have a son who is a heroin addict, has been for about 15, 20 years. So I'm calling pertaining to him as of right now, as of last night. It looks like he's going to get another sentence again for the second time to prison. What I'd like to start out with, though, is Jesus has opened up all the doors that anyone could ever dream of on the streets for me, and that's where I came from. I had lead poisoning as a child, and I've had physical and mental health my whole life. And when I started looking for God about 17 years ago, he changed me. And I see him with the very people who I used to think weren't helping us. And he's with the downtrodden and hurting and all of us that are so confused and hurting. If you look for him, if you pray for him, it's Jesus. It's the blood. It's our Savior. And I'm very thankful for you, Mark, and you, Jim, for your show. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Sometimes we do feel isolated. We feel all alone, Mark, as we go through this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my heart hurts for him and what he's dealing with his son. And, you know, and that's really on for the Addiction Connection. We have a tab called Need Help Now. And just for people like this who are looking for a counselor, or maybe they're looking for a residential program that is more of a disciple-making program, our ministry website lists those programs. We have a map, and we're trying to populate it with more and more biblically-oriented programs, you know, and so it just takes time. A lot of programs would say they're Christian, but maybe what they teach is not as faithful to the Word as it should be. I'm trying to be very gracious in how I say that. So we've listed programs that we've vetted that we believe are really trying to help in a biblical way, in a disciple-making way, and in really a relational way. And I love these programs and the counselors. And some are non-residential programs that are listed. But there's help on our website for gentlemen like this who are looking for maybe a program for his son.
Okay, again, that's theaddictionconnection.org, and look for that tab, Need Help Now. We're just seconds from the break, so Naomi, you stay on the line. We'll get to you right after the break and other callers as well. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Again, our number, 800-733-9829. Mark Shaw is with us today. He is the founder of The Addiction Connection. We're talking on the topic today of fentanyl. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. I am just hours home from the Moment of Truth Summit sponsored by Mike Lindell. I helped him organize this, and my camera crew produced the entire television special. And I was even shocked. And I've been on the inside for 18 months. In fact, I helped to introduce Mike Lindell to one of these individuals, Dennis Montgomery. We were criticized roundly, but we found out Sarah Carter, John Solomon, and Sean Hannity even were talking about him on television as well a few years ago. On the documentation, what is it, my friends? Bottom line. We've got a problem with machines, cyber hacking, and we've been ridiculed and criticized, but it appears now all the information is coming out. It's being documented. Apparently, we now have a uniparty, Republicans and Democrats working together to decide who they want in office, not we the people. More information at frankspeech.com.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Just want to mention one more time, we do have Mark's book, just 30-some pages, but it's got many resources and helps and charts, books and appendixes, et cetera, to guide you, websites to help with this issue. The book is called Fentanyl, and we're making it available our way of saying thank you for your support of $6 or more. If you'd like three copies, a donation of $15, and that does include shipping to you as well. So call 800-729-9829 or go to vcyamerica.org. We've got Naomi calling in from Preston, Minnesota. Naomi, thank you for your patience. You're on the air.
Hi. I heard that you briefly mentioned not to pick up like $1 bills or something. So for those of us with children, what are we supposed to look for and what are symptoms of if somebody's exposed to fentanyl? I don't really know, like, is it a powder or how does that work?
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I think with fentanyl, it just, it's such a powerful drug that you don't really figure it out until afterwards. So, but if people are withdrawing from other people, isolating, I think about Proverbs 18:1, that when we isolate, we seek our own desire, we break out against all sound judgment. So you're looking for people who are maybe isolating, maybe losing interest in hobbies and sports and activities and in family time and church and social activities. But typically someone who is drug addicted, they are withdrawing, they are isolating, and they are having new friends that they use with. And so just kind of some of those things, bad grades, you know, just a drop in what's normal for the person.
So they, and I think to her question as well, will they see like a powder on this dollar bill or something like that or not?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you could, but you may not. I mean, what they do with this dollar bill, they fold it up to where it looks, you can tell it's a 5 or a 10 or even a 20. And you can tell that, but it's folded up real pretty and nicely. So even kids are picking it up. And as they unfold it and open it, then the powdery substance is in there.
Okay, so if it's just a dollar bill laying flat on the ground and my, like, say, 2-year-old picks it up, it's not going to be a problem, right?
Well, you never know. I mean, they could, you know, typically it wouldn't be flat, I don't think, like that.
Typically
but
it's folded.
You never know. I mean, mm-hmm. I tell my kids, don't pick up anything. Don't touch it. Of course, I know a 2-year-old, it's different. Yeah. Mine are a little bit older.
Right.
But, yeah, I think you just have to just watch that they don't pick up anything, you know.
Thank you, Naomi.
Okay.
Let's go to Duane in Clarksburg, West Virginia. You're on the air. Hello, Duane. Duane, you're on the air. Okay, let's go to Jim in Milwaukee. Jim, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm concerned about now when I go to the VA and I just broke my shoulder and I'm asking for, like, Percocet to help my to be able to sleep at night because I'm in such pain, they look at you like you're an addict. And it's like, you know, listen, I know this works. I've done it for 40 years. And now you're restricting me to do it. And they'd rather have you kill yourself than try to give you it, you know, and it's crazy.
Yeah. So what you're saying is basically when you feel like you need something because of the abuse, it's not available to you.
Exactly, exactly. And why should we have to pay for the abuse? And why are they going after these pharmaceutical companies? It's not them either. It's doctors that are prescribing it. But I think they're going overboard now, and they'd rather have you die than give it to you, and that's not good either.
Thank you, Jim, for the call. Any comment, Mark?
Yeah, it's the human heart. It's what we desire and whether or not we get enslaved by it. And so we do have to be careful about blaming all these other things. But unfortunately, he's experiencing some of the consequences of choices that other people have made. Mm-hmm. That, you know, he's a victim in that sense of the bad choices of the addicted.
I'm going to pick one last call here. This is Reggie calling in. Hi, Reggie. You're on the air.
Hello. Yeah, I was wondering about, have you ever heard of the group called CR, Celebrate Recovery, and what is your thoughts on that?
I always have to laugh. Well, Celebrate Recovery started by John Baker and Rick Warren, and there are 20,000, 30,000 Celebrate Recovery groups around the world. So I want to be careful, and I don't have a lot of time to answer this. My concerns about Celebrate Recovery are some of the unbiblical teaching that I find in it about sometimes you have to forgive God. Well, God's never done anything wrong, so I don't need to forgive God. That's in their leader's guide, and it's, you know, it's an unfortunate way to put that. So that's a concern with Celebrate Recovery. Another concern I have is just that they push self-esteem as the problem. I don't love myself enough is what they believe, and that's why I'm an addict. But really, it, the opposite is true. I love myself so much that I'm willing to live as though I'm God. I'm the God of my life. I'm in control, and therefore I'm going to choose to use drugs, and then I get enslaved to it. It creates problems. So I think Celebrate Recovery, it has some good intentions, and it's really trying to bridge the gap between the 12-step world and the church world. But I do still have some concerns about their approach and program, and I know that's not going to be real popular with a lot of listeners because people have gone to Celebrate Recovery and been helped. We're not saying that, but I just think you have to be a little bit more biblically literate and study what they're really teaching and be careful not to to believe things that they say are true that I think are not.
Reggie, thank you for the call here today. And certainly we need to use the Word of God as our source of authority in this, correct, Mark?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. We've got just half a minute left. What would you like to leave with the listeners on this issue?
Well, you know, anybody who wants to be trained by us, commissioned, we have something we call being a commissioned addictions biblical counselor. That's available to anyone who wants to learn how to help the addicted. And we have a great network. We have a summit this year in November here at my home church, and just a great way to connect with other like-minded people. So anyone listening that would want to connect with us or be trained by us are certainly welcome to pursue that.
Okay, and again, the website, theaddictionconnection.org. Mark, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
Mark Shaw, our guest, and again, not only being an ordained pastor, but also the founder of the Addiction Connection and director of counseling at his church as well. And thank you for joining us on the broadcast. Again, their website is theaddictionconnection.org. For information on obtaining the book that we discussed today, Fentanyl, you can go to vcyamerica.org or 800-729-9829. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.